From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The newly passed American Rescue Plan, voted on by no Republicans and signed into law by President Joe Biden, is a whopping $1.9 trillion relief bill aimed at the financial pain caused by the coronavirus pandemic. But the bill has numerous provisions that have a longer-term goal. One such provision is billions of dollars set aside to assist Black farmers and farmers of color. Black farmers in particular are a historically marginalized group that have lost some 90% of their land over the past century. My guest is John Boyd, founder and president of the National Black Farmers Association. He's a fourth-generation farmer from Baskerville, Virginia. Welcome to the program, John.
Thank you for having me.
Before we get to what's in the bill and what it would address for Black farmers, give our audience a context for why there has been this century-long discrimination that has resulted in so much land lost and so many Black farmers losing their livelihoods.
Yes, at the turn of the century, we were 1 million Black farm families are strong, tilling about 20 million acres of land and representing about 14% of the nation's farmers. Today, we're down to about 44,000, 45,000 Black farmers tilling about 4.5 million acres. So our numbers are down drastically, and it's partly due to a couple of things. One was the Great Migration up north, and the other half was years of discrimination that we faced by the United States Department of Agriculture and its unfair lending practices, and low to no participation in subsidy programs, lending programs, farm operating loans, all of the programs that USDA offers to white farmers, we were pretty much excluded through the act of discrimination.
So you have a situation today where overall farmers are small farmers and family-based farming is in trouble. Big agriculture has taken over huge swaths of farmland and, of course, gotten big subsidies from American taxpayers. And you have family farms in general being edged out. And I imagine that those systemic issues that impact all family farms possibly disproportionately impact the small number of Black farmers that are left.
Yes, I would say so. And many farmers are being forced out of business by quote-unquote corporate America and large-scale quote-unquote white farmers who receive on average in the top 10% of the farm subsidy program receive $1 million per farmer. And the average subsidy payment to a Black farmer is less than a couple thousand dollars. So just some wide disparate figures, 387 days to process a Black farm loan request and less than 30 days to process a white farm loan request. All of the documentation of discrimination is there. It's no longer the word allegation. It's been proven in federal court. And that's why I began to turn my efforts to more of a legislative fix. I've been trying for 30 years to get debt relief into an act of Congress. So either through the House and the Senate, and it's always failed as far as through the farm bill and other spending bills, we were never able to get debt relief into any of the House spending bills.
So let's talk about what was in the American Rescue Plan. I understand some reports I've seen have said $5 billion set aside for non-white farmers. Others say $4 billion. How much money has been set aside and what would that go toward?
It's actually $5 billion altogether.
I see.
So there's $1 billion for outreach and technical assistance and looking into the a deeper look into discrimination at USDA. That mechanism is $1 billion. And then there's $4 billion for debt relief to be told out through by the directive of the secretary. So
debt relief is the main part of it. This sounds like what you've been working for decades finally happening.
And I don't want to lessen the victory here, but it's a huge victory where we can, like I said, gives Black and other farmers of color the chance to regroup. And you know, when animals are in trouble and facing extinction like Black farmers are right now, Congress puts laws in place to give them time to get their numbers up. And that's what I've been trying to do for Black farmers. Since we're facing extinction, we're going to need some time to regroup. And the one way to do that is to get rid of this debt and allow Black farmers to revamp their farming operations. So I think, and not just Black farmers, this is farmers of color, Hispanic and Native Americans and others who fit the definition of socially disadvantaged farmers at the United States Department of Agriculture.
And so lest conservative critics of this aid point out that it shouldn't be, subject to the race of the farmer, it should be remembered that under President Donald Trump, there were huge farm subsidies that were handed out, and nearly 100% of those subsidies went to white farmers.
Yes, $29 million, just under the China trade war payments, and alone in itself was $29 billion in relief that went to primarily white farmers. And none of the cynics and critics found anything wrong with that. Only until Black and other farmers of color deemed eligible to through this act of Congress, they find it problematic. All of a sudden, it's, these farmers shouldn't get anything. But they didn't say a word when we weren't getting the subsidies. And I made it known on 24-hour cable news networks around the country. And none of those senators said anything about it or trying to investigate to see why we weren't getting the money or any of that stuff.
What is the debt? What is the origin of the debt among Black farmers? I imagine there's probably multiple reasons why they are in debt, and family farmers in general are struggling with debt, but specifically, why are Black farmers in debt?
Well, what USDA does, and many people don't understand, is that if Black farmers were lucky enough to get a farm operating loan, we had what's called supervised bank accounts. That means the government had to sign the checks for us to pay for lime and seed and fertilizer. And the government does what's called a wrap loan. USDA, excuse me when I say government, does wrap loans. So they can take a farm operating loan and secure it with your by your land and all of your assets. And that's how many Black farmers got in trouble with USDA, through a mere operating loan. And I too was no exception, you know, to that rule.
And so they got into debt with the government.
Yes. Hmm. Yes. And like I said, if you were lucky, and I tried for 9 years, for example, to get a farm operating loan, didn't get one. And I got two out of the 15 years I applied. But once you get tied up in the system, you're in, and it's compound daily interest coupled with a white farm system that hasn't been friendly or treated Black farmers equally. And many in the local offices, we lost millions of acres of land through the county committee. These are the three-member panels that review all of the financial loans and operating loans, and any loan that comes through that particular county is looked at through the three-member county committee, which is 99% white. For people to understand, this is the good old boy system at its best. And if there's a minority on the committee, that person is in the advisory role and they can't vote. And I've been trying to do away with the county committee for a long time. So here we have a federal part of the government where Blacks and other minorities can't vote. And I've been trying to fight to fix that. So, and also USDA was the last federal arm to integrate. They filed lawsuits to prevent Black people from working there. And that's why we call it the last plantation. So it has a long history and pattern of discriminating against Black and other farmers. And in the 50s and 60s, they had Black extension agents because the relationship was so stale with Black farmers and sharecroppers with USDA. So they came up with the Black extension agents. And once they'd done away with that, I believe it got worse. Blacks started losing land at enormous rates, at three times greater rates than any other race of people in this country after they'd done away with the Black Extension Agents. And so there's a lot of history here, people, that points to wrongdoing. And we've had some victories, some partial victories over the past 30 years, but no real fix at USDA where we have changed the culture. So we've had two settlements and nobody's been fired except for a Black woman who they thought said something bad about a white person, Shirley Sherrod. She got fired the next day, but nobody was fired for discriminating against Black farmers and in my own county.
Let's talk about Tom Vilsack, who was the head of the U.S. Department of Agriculture under Barack Obama and is now again going to run the USDA under Biden. What sort of criticism do you have of Vilsack's tenure under Obama, and what are you demanding from him now?
Well, you know, I need to start from the beginning. I was actually interviewed, as they say, vetted for Agriculture Secretary, and I was being interviewed the same day for Ag Secretary as Tom Vilsack was at the transition office for the Obama years, our presidency. And that was the first time I met Secretary Vilsack in person, being interviewed the same day. He got the job, and I don't think, to me, at that time and during his tenure, the first 8 years, I believe he was for big agriculture, which I think has hurt not just Black farmers, but small farmers in general, where he catered to the big ag companies, and he wasn't aggressive enough to help all of my efforts during the Claims Remedy Act of 2010 that provided $1.25 billion in discrimination cases for Black farmers. So I didn't think he was aggressive enough or he showed enough of having these type of issues, civil rights issues, as a top priority at USDA. And the same thing I'm saying to you, I've said to him that, you know, it can't be the same this 4 years around. And I do support President Biden. I think he's coming out the box, saying and doing the right things. And the fact that we were able to get into this spending bill, the COVID relief bill, shows that his heart and efforts are in the right place. But as far as it goes with Secretary Vilsack, as my daddy told me, don't watch what they say, but watch absolutely everything that they do.
What about Sonny Perdue, who was Trump's USDA secretary? Did he further damage or did he build on what Vilsack did in propping up big agricultural firms and prioritizing them over family farms? We know, of course, that Black farmers were completely left out, as we'd mentioned earlier, with the subsidies. But in general, was he in the pocket of big ag?
Worst agriculture secretary in history for Black farmers, Sonny Perdue was. Based on the time I spent with him and based on the time I spent with every agriculture secretary since the Carter administration, Republican and Democrat, his sense of arrogance and the tone and what he was saying in my FaceTime meeting with him was just awful. He said that Black farmers would have to get big or get out. That's what they do in America. Farmers get big or get out. How can you get big when you're not able to participate in these federal programs? You know, how can you get big when you can't, when you're not getting access to credit? It's almost like a double whammy insult, you know, what he was saying. And when I pressed him to have more Blacks on the county committee and the commissions and in the local offices that serve us, he said he didn't need tokens or people that didn't want to work, is what he told me. And I told him that I didn't know any Black farmer that survived in this day and time with no access to credit that didn't want to work. And I said, I have two sons, I can still outwork them. And I said, Mr. Secretary, I probably can still outwork you. It's that type of bad perception that many white America have for Black men, that we're lazy and don't want to work. And people, it's just not true. I work 7 days a week as a farmer. holidays and Christmas, my cows have to be fed, my hogs have to be fed, my hay has to get up, my crops have to be harvested and planted. So it's a myth that we're lazy. We've been denied the same access as other farmers. And if we had the same access as other farmers, guess what? We wouldn't need a special act of Congress in the year 2021.
Now you have Senator Lindsey Graham, who upon the passage of the American Rescue Plan and the $4 to $5 billion set aside for Black farmers, said that's reparations when asked about it. What do you make of that?
I think Lindsey Graham is racist, and he's proven it with his statements. This is reparations. Well, if that's reparations, is it reparations to give all of the relief money to white farmers? That would be my first question to him. And I touched on it earlier, you know, all those years I lobbied his office to look at redress for Black farmers and farmers of color, fell upon deaf ears from when he served in the House and his whole tenure when he served in the Senate. He knows all about these issues. I've had many buttonhole meetings with Senator Lindsey Graham and a few official meetings in his office to talk about the discrimination at USDA. And he's never once said from the microphone, he's gonna look into the discrimination at USDA. And he has 6,000 Black farmers in his state. So there's 6,000 Black farmers, and he's never done anything to help Black farmers in South Carolina. And the first chance if he saw that we're gonna get some redress, he uses his a megaphone to belittle Black farmers in this country. He should be ashamed of himself. And I'm calling for an apology from Senator Lindsey Graham. He needs to apologize to Black farmers and farmers of color. So instead of doing what he needs to do as a legislator to help us, he's out ridiculing us on Fox News.
How much does the debt relief help? Does $4 billion, which has been set aside for debt relief in the American Rescue Plan, does it go far enough to address the need, or is this the beginning of what you hope will be ongoing assistance to right a century of wrongs?
I hope this is the beginning of many initiatives that I see that plague Black and farmers of color. We haven't even spoken about the top 10 banks in this country. The equipment companies, John Deere, one of the most racist companies in the world. We haven't even spoken about them. They don't want to service Black farmers. They service us when they get ready. They don't market towards us through our conferences and regional conferences, and they don't offer us the cutting edge equipment and technology there. This company is awful as far as the way that they treat Black farmers in this country. And they're going to tell you if you ask them, well, they're smaller farmers. All of us are not smaller farmers. And even if I was small, I deserve the same service as anybody else. My neighbor tells me that they get same day service from John Deere. And my combine was down as recently as this year. And it took them three weeks to get back to me. It's too long and there's no oversight. And I want to get to issues like that and Monsanto and Bayer, who didn't do any outreach to Black farmers to show them how to use these harmful, deadly chemicals. So we have a host of issues that we haven't gotten to yet. And I look forward to working with Warner and Booker and Senator Chairman Scott in the House to get and have them take a deeper look at what's really going on in the whole agriculture world, the way that they treat Black and farmers of color.
And just to pick up finally on what you were alluding to with companies like Monsanto, can farmers of color and Black farmers and indigenous farmers be on the forefront of a revival of small farming that relies on agriculture that's sustainable and organic, for which there is a growing demand?
Yes, and here's what I tell you that where I think that should happen. Congress and other oversight and the American people should demand more from the seed and chemical companies. Why can't they come up with a more climate-friendly type of applications for weed control and pest control? They raise all this money off their high-priced seeds. When I first started farming soybean seeds were $8 a bag. Now it's 60. And they said they're using all of the difference for research. So why can't they come up with all the resources that they have with a more user-friendly type of application? And I think it can be done, but they don't want to do it. They want to continue to put these harmful chemicals and add to do the same thing that it was doing 20 years ago. And here again, with very little oversight from Congress. And I'm looking to change that. I'm looking to turn the heat up on people like Bayer and Monsanto through the new faces in Congress and this new administration. John, with the last 4 years of Trump, I really hurt us as Black and small scale farmers.
John, give out a website for the National Black Farmers Association.
Yes, blackfarmers.org. And I have a personal website if people are interested in looking at some of my other work, www.johnboydjr.com.
That's blackfarmers.org and johnboyd.com. I want to thank you so much, John, for joining us today. Good luck to you.
Thank you for having me.
My guest has been John Boyd, the founder and president of the National Black Farmers Association and a fourth-generation farmer from Baskerville, Virginia. We've been discussing how the American Rescue Plan helps black farmers. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.